In the future, and you found this audiobook in a stack of junk being used to block the entrance of an abandoned Starbucks that is now a feeding station for the alien militia. If that's the case, I have some questions for you, such as, did we really ruin the environment as much as we thought, and is Glee still a thing? If you're looking for a spiritual allegory in the style of C.S. Lewis, I guess you could piece something together with Lorne Michaels as a symbol for God and my struggles with hair removal as a metaphor for virtue. Or perhaps you just bought this audiobook to laugh and be entertained. For you, I have included this joke. Two peanuts were walking down the street, and one was assaulted. Peanut. You see, I just want you to get your money's worth. Anyone who knows me will tell you that I am all about money. I mean, just look how well my line of Zodiac-inspired toe rings and homeopathic children's medications are selling on Home Shopping Network. Because I am nothing if not an amazing businesswoman, I researched what kind of content makes for best-selling books. It turns out the answer is one-night stands, drug addictions, and recipes. Here, we are out of luck. But I can offer you lurid tales of anxiety and cowardice. Why is this audiobook called Bossy Pants? One, because the name Two and a Half Men was already taken. And two, because ever since I became an executive producer of 30 Rock, people have asked me, is it hard for you being the boss? And is it uncomfortable for you to be the person in charge? You know, in that same way they say, gosh, Mr. Trump, is it awkward for you to be the boss of all these people? I can't answer for Mr. Trump, but in my case, it is not. I've learned a lot in the past 10 years about what it means to be the boss of people. In most cases, being a good boss means hiring talented people and then getting out of their way. In other cases, to get the best work out of people, you may have to pretend you are not their boss and let them treat someone else like the boss, and then that person whispers to you behind a fake wall and you tell them what to tell the first person. Contrary to what I believed as a little girl, being the boss almost never involves marching around waving your arms and chanting, I am the boss! I am the boss! For me, this audiobook has been an almost pleasurable task of retracing my steps to figure out what factors contributed to this little soccer nerd developing into this fancy glamour lady who secretly prefers to be this weirdo on roller skates in a wig. I hope you enjoy this audiobook. I hope you enjoy it so much that you also buy a copy for your sister-in-law. Sincerely, Tina Fey, New York City, 2011. It's so hard to believe it's 2011 already. I'm still writing Tina Fey, grade 4, room 207 on all my checks. Origin story. My brother is 8 years older than I am. I was a big surprise, a wonderful surprise, my mom would be quick to tell you. Although having a baby at 40 is a commonplace fool's errand these days, back in 1970, it was pretty unheard of. Women around my mom's office referred to her pregnancy as Mrs. Fay and her change of life baby. When I was born, I was fussed over and doted on, and my brother has always looked out for me like a third parent. The day before I started kindergarten, my parents took me to the school to meet the teacher. My mom had taken my favorite blanket and stitched my initials into it for nap time, just like she'd done for my brother 8 years earlier. At the teacher conference, my dad tried to give my naptime blanket to the teacher, and she just smiled and said, oh, we don't do that anymore. That's when I realized I had old parents, and I've been worried about them ever since. While my parents talked to the teacher, I was sent to a table to do coloring. I was introduced to a Greek boy named Alex, whose mom was next in line to meet with the teacher. We colored together in silence. I was so used to being praised and encouraged that when I finished my drawing, I held it up to show Alex, who immediately ripped it in half. I didn't have the language to express my feelings then, but my thoughts were something like, oh, it's like that, motherfucker? Got it. Mrs. Fay's change of life baby had entered the real world. During the spring semester of kindergarten, I was slashed in the face by a stranger in the alley behind my house. Don't worry, I'm not going to lay out the grisly details for you like a Sweeps episode of Dateline. I only bring it up to explain why I'm not going to talk about it. I've always been able to tell a lot about people by whether they ask me about my scar. Most people never ask, but if it comes up naturally somehow and I offer up the story, they are quite interested. Some people are just dumb. Did a cat scratch you? God bless. Those sweet dum-dums, I never mind. Sometimes it is a fun sociology litmus test, like when my friend Ricky asked me, did they ever catch the black guy that did that to you? It's not a black guy, Ricky. And I never said it was. Then there's another sort of person who thinks it makes them seem brave or sensitive or wonderfully direct to ask me about it right away. They ask with